So I came to you with what I thought was a fairly simple question.
Yes.
How much time is a trillion seconds? How many years? And what? So what's the answer to that, or why is it hard?
That seems like a very straightforward question, right? You would just say, okay, so how many seconds are there in a year? And then just take a trillion seconds and divide the number of seconds per year, and you can work it all out. How many years, months, days, hours, seconds, etc. But of course, anything that you're going to try to measure precisely has some complications to it, and time is something that has some special complications to it. And part of the reason is we're in a transition phase right now in moving from time based purely on astronomical measurements. That's the way we've measured time accurately for the vast majority of human history, to measuring time based purely on atomic clocks, a fundamental property of atoms, such as a vibration in a cesium atom. That's the current international standard for timekeeping. So we're in a transition period right now where our timekeeping system is a hybrid of time, basically based on astronomical observations. That's the position of the Earth, or the apparent position in the sky of the stars, compared to atomic timekeeping. Our time system, which is called Coordinated Universal Time, abbreviated UTC, is a hybrid of those two things.
And it's a hybrid in the sense that we basically go by the atomic clocks, but when that gets us off relative to the Earth's orbit and the seasons, we correct it a little bit.
That's exactly right. The size of the second, how long 1 second is based only on atomic clocks. The current definition is 1 second is exactly 9,192,631,770 vibrations of a particular cesium transition. That's the definition of 1 second. But because the Earth's rotation is constantly changing on a small level, a couple of microseconds per day, because it's constantly changing, eventually atomic clock time and time based on the Earth's orientation or the apparent motion of the stars, they get out of sync with each other. So every once in a while, we have to put in a leap second to keep atomic clock time and Earth rotation time synchronized to each other to better than 1 second.
And if you didn't do that, just to exaggerate,
yes,
at some point August might fall in the middle of the winter.
And not just that. I mean, eventually the length of the day would be dramatically different. There are sort of two main effects here on the Earth's rotation. One is that there's a quite predictable and gradual slowing of the Earth's rotation rate due to the gravitational force primarily from the moon. Basically, what happens is as the Earth rotates, the moon and the sun, but let's focus on the moon for a moment, pulls up tides. And those tides are both a bulge in the oceans, but also actually a bulge in the Earth's crust, too. And so if you imagine as that bulge gets pulled up and tries to rotate away from the moon's pulling back on that bulge and it a little bit more strongly than if the Earth were a perfect sphere. So that slows the Earth down. Now, this is a small effect. It's basically making the length of the day longer by about 1.5 milliseconds, thousandths of a second, per century. It doesn't sound like a lot, but that adds up over geological time periods. For example, a few hundred million years ago, the length of the day in terms of our current timekeeping was only about 20 of our current hours. And we actually have not just predictions of that, but records in the fossil record of the length of the day. You can look at coral, which are aquatic animals. Just like trees have annual growth rings, coral has annual growth rings, but it has superimposed upon that daily growth rings because it only grows while the sun is shining on it. And so you can look and see that from coral fossils 400 million years ago or so, that there were roughly 400 days in one year at that time because the Earth was spinning much faster. And it's been slowing down, and it'll continue to slow down until the Earth and the moon are locked together. Just like we only see one face of the moon above us, eventually the moon will be above just one point on the Earth. The other side of the Earth will never see the moon. But that, don't worry, that's a long ways away. But so that part is predictable. But then there are many complicated effects which change the Earth's rotation rate from day to day, either speeding it up or slowing it down. Everything from change in the climate to change in the seasons, to complicated motions of the molten rock, the magma inside the Earth, which is very hard to understand or predict or even measure. So it's a very complicated system.
So that's why the question is sort of an impossible one to answer.
That's right.
Members of Congress should be very careful when they tread here.
Well, we all should be, but I mean, at the same time, I think the analogy of trying to get people to understand how big a trillion is not a bad idea. People should not get caught up with trying to be overly precise when you're not able to do so. But I think the idea of saying, hey, try to picture spending a dollar a second, and if you did that, it would take you about 32,000 years to spend $1 trillion. I think that's a compelling analogy, because a trillion is a number that's very difficult for most of us to comprehend.
Okay. Very, very good of you to defend the people who approve your funding. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, David. All great right. to talk to you.
Bye. Bye-bye.